How do you do? Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, well, we've warned you.
What?
What is best in life?
Tequiler?
Tequila.
What about you, Andy?
I'm going to say doggies.
Oh,
I love dogs.
And hear the lamentations of their pups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly?
Not being crucified.
Not being crucified is near the top of my list as well.
Yes.
And,
Freddie, what is best in your life?
I love roasted vegetable Ritz so much.
You're so simple. I love that answer.
How do you feel about seeing your enemies driven before you, though?
I feel good about that, too.
Yeah,
though.
good.
Yeah.
Who are your enemies?
My enemies?
Yeah.
Diabetes.
Cancer. Let's see. Who else are my enemies?
Kanye West now.
Kanye West.
He's a issue, isn't he?
Don Corleone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don Corleone is an ally and a friend. So we're doing Conan this month.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Because it's talk show host month.
Yeah. I just got that.
Thanks. Conan's going from an hour to a half an hour. How do we feel?
I feel like they're like, thanks, but it's okay. You don't have to do it. No, it's okay. No. Don't worry. We'll get you just a half hour, buddy.
That's all.
I never understand why he was always my favorite late night.
Mine too.
Except for obviously Johnny Carson, but he's dead.
Conan, I don't get why Conan doesn't get
I don't stay up that late. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's partly our fault.
I ain't got TBS.
I think his audience aged out of staying up that late.
That's true, because I don't watch any late night talk shows.
I consume a lot of my media on the go. Right.
I audiobooks, consume podcasts. A lot of roasted vegetable Ritz crackers.
Yeah.
Even TV shows, and it's hard to like something to watch in this day and age where we're just go. Kids got soccer practice. You have
to eat all your kids, Amy.
All my kids.
You only have time for Go-Gurt?
Yeah.
Mikey's not with us today,
that's
by the way.
That's all she eats, just Go-Gurt.
She's on the go.
He's pushing the wheel of pain in his yard.
Yep. But he's going to come back to us real strong.
He's going to have thicker legs and long hair.
Thicker hair.
Yeah.
Thicker legs.
So
thicker accent.
Yeah.
Good luck, Mikey.
Later in the show, we'll be talking about the 1982 Conan the Barbarian. The best sword and sorcery movie of all time, in my personal opinion.
Agreed. Actually, I was thinking today.
Give me some other options.
That behind this is probably the best fantasy movie behind Lord of the Rings, I would think.
Oh, Lord of the Rings. What else?
To say sword and sorcery, I would be like Beastmaster.
Yes.
Would you consider Kroll one?
Kroll,
That's my favorite.
Is it really?
Well, it's like the way, it's nostalgia more than anything.
Yeah, because I rewatched Kroll and I was like, this is intolerable.
The Kroll weapon was in Ready Player One, remember?
I like that.
And Phantasm.
I like that Easter egg.
Basically. You know, because it's a ball that swings and flies.
Well, Kroll was like a boomerang.
Was it? It wasn't a silver ball?
No.
It had blades on it.
It had blades, but it was
I guess
it was like a four-sided Nerf-a-rang, like the Nerf boomerang.
I remember, except I it had the Nerf blades boomerang. On it. It never worked the way you thought it was going to.
But, Amy will talk about We Goon.
We Goon. We Go On.
For Straight to Video Russian
Roulette.
You're going to go on about We Go On.
If you're a patron, I'm sure that you were thrilled to hear that Night of the Comic returned Wednesday or Thursday morning.
Can I tell you guys a little secret, a little behind the scenes about Night of the Comic?
BTS?
Comic, not Night of the Comet. I don't know anything about that behind the scenes. Jason comes over.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie and him come into the studio, and they close the little curtain door, and they call up Dave.
Uh-huh.
And I hear him giggling and laughing for like an hour. And then Jason comes out, and he's like, we gotta go. I'm like, see you, Jason. And then Freddie just comes out, and he's just got a grin.
Aww.
You just have so, you clearly have so much fun when you're in here with those boys.
We have a great time. Yeah. We have a lot of fun.
And was that too much to share?
No, that's why we do it.
That's inside baseball.
Was it too sincere?
And you, if you are not a patron, you can still hear episodes of Night of the Comic. I usually set them, I think, 7 days after they go public. So go to patreon.com, go to posts.
/NOTLP,
slash,
of course.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, patreon.com/NOTLP. If you go, there's all of our other podcasts are broken into tags, like High Five Happy Hour,
Skin Tags,
and Origins, and then there's a little Night of the Comic. You click on that and you get a list of all those episodes.
Mm-hmm. And just listen to Freddie just get happy.
Yeah.
And we, come on, get happy.
It's real informal. We dive right into talking, and we get into, this episode was all about 10 years of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Ooh.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
Amy, did you ever like peek behind the curtain to see what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, get out of here, no girls allowed.
I'm usually in a bear costume on my knees.
Yeah.
Only when I have to get Elsa out of here. Elsa loves Kelly. Mm-hmm. But there is a special love between Elsa and Jason.
Yeah.
That is, it's extra in some way.
It's and truer and deeper than anything you've ever
experienced. He gets so excited to see her. She's so excited to see him.
Is it the beard? Sweet.
That might be it. I don't really know.
Eating leavings in his beard.
She's out there barking right now. Yeah. She's like, well, I want to see him.
She's heard the name Jason. And we're like, ah.
fun fact, when we listened back to the show, mm-hmm. and one of the dogs barks, Tess barks.
Aww.
She hears the doggies.
Your doggy barks and my doggy barks.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid dogs. They're just like, duh.
Bork, bork.
Oh, is that a dog? I'm so fucking stupid. I don't know. It's not real.
So.
Yeah.
I got tequila.
Yeah, me too.
For Drinco de Mayo.
Mm. Let's just call it Drinco de Mayo. No, I'm going to call it
Drinco
people.
De Mayo.
Okay.
Woo! That's what we have to do, woo. I'm sick of tomorrow, right?
Yeah, woo.
Woo-hoo. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So tomorrow, Andy, you have your 68th Flying Pig Marathon.
Mm-hmm. And birthday.
Yeah. I'm 68 years old, guys.
Staying fit.
I'm kind of worried.
What is it, really?
It's tomorrow. When?
The number.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, the 20th.
No, but yours.
Oh, my seventh. Flying Pig, ninth marathon. Thank overall. You.
All
right. And I'm kind of worried because...
You're always worried.
No, because yesterday I shit my pants at the expo.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the shit pants expo?
Yes.
And they're like,
it was right next door to the marathon expo. Yeah. I don't know why I went.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you don't remember, last year Andy had food poisoning prior to the pig, and it really did a number on him. But I feel like you shit your pants kind of on a regular basis anyway. So I don't think this is abnormal.
It just doesn't bode well.
What were the circumstances of your pants shitting?
Well, he'd eaten a bowl of diarrhea.
Oh, that'll do it. But, I mean, like...
The problem was it was warm. Normally, I eat it cold.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what you did.
I'm real curious, though. Like, what do you do at the expo that would cause you to shit your pants?
Well, I got there too early before it opened, so I went...
That's always the mistake.
I got lunch downtown, and I just found this sandwich shop, and I got a Cuban sandwich. I guess that was what did it to me.
Oh, so, what sandwich shop?
It's called Ingredients.
It's really, oh, I know where that is. Over by the
it's kind of bougie. Yeah.
Ingredients. Restaurant. It's called Restaurant.
Fixins. Ingredients. So, yeah, after I got my t-shirt and my bib number, I go to my car. Then I was like, ooh.
You wish you had opted for the pants instead of the t-shirt?
So I do the tight butt walk.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Back to the convention center because I'm not going to shit my car again.
But there's I know the tight butt walk, and there's always that moment where you just it just overrides it.
Andy was like, it's "Fool me once, shame on you."
Like I've already shit in my car. I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit in your car once.
Yeah.
Shame on me.
So I had to do. It was, thankfully, I parked real close, but I had to go upstairs, so that made it even worse.
Oh, yeah. It's hard to clinch and walk upstairs.
So I did the tight butt walk, but like I was maybe 50 feet from the restroom, and my stomach was like, please! My butthole was like, nope.
Yeah. Oh,
and just opened up like
the Did they change the name of it to the Dookie Energy Center?
I had a clench moment today. After my youngest son went to Kings Island with his school band today, and I had to drop him off at 9, and as I'm driving back, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And but I was okay.
You made it home?
I did, but like, it was close. Another 45 to 60 seconds, well, let's say a minute to slightly under a minute, there could have been a critical situation.
See, that's what happened to my bowels. I was so close to the bathroom, and my bowels were like,
they sense
you're
it.
Close, and mm-hmm. they loosened up a little bit.
Yep.
And I was like, no, I'm not there yet.
It's that Pavlovian response.
How are you feeling now?
I'm fine now, but I was...
You're just worried.
Yeah, it's a humbling experience to shit your pants.
As many times as you do. What's great, it's so humbling, you don't care about telling anyone.
Yeah. Well, the problem...
No ego.
Open and honest.
Yeah. I was real mad when I saw the leavings, because I was like, that's it?
Oh, yeah, like you think you've dramatically, like, you think like you're just going to open up the fucking...
yeah.
The elevators that's always a relief in the Overlook Hotel.
It's always a relief for me. Can I tell you that sometimes, if you want to know a little thing about my digestion... Like, sometimes in the night, I'll wake up farting, but I think I've, like, shit a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm always so relieved to find out that I didn't.
Do you need to go back to sleep, or do you go sit on the toilet?
I usually go sit on the
toilet. Do you check?
I do. I check first.
With your hand?
I use... Yeah. I do a full-on finger check, and so, then I'm like...
Okay. What gives you the idea that you shit your pants? Is it like a feeling? Warm feeling?
It feels a little liquidy, but it's not. Like, I think it's just in my sleep.
Do you wear pants to bed?
Never.
So you're saying you shit the sheets, you think.
I'm always worried that's what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But then it never does. It's just the way my butthole
farts. You better knock on some wood. It never does. Yeah, right.
No, I mean, it has for sure. That's why I'm paranoid about it.
Mm-hmm. This is great. Guys, I might have athlete's foot.
Oh.
We're all gross today, huh?
I don't know how you even get it. I don't even understand it. I'm not sure what to do. I'm freaked out.
Well, it's because you're an athlete. Yeah. Is that what you were going to say?
You didn't wear flip-flops in the shower at the dorm. That's the problem.
I thought I had a cyst on my taint for a while. Okay. It went away.
I'm glad it went away.
Yeah.
How long, like recently?
Yeah. It's gone.
Amy, did you check it out for her?
I asked.
She must have removed it in my sleep.
it absorbed back in.
Yeah.
I asked him. I was like, do you want me to look at it for you? And he said, nah.
There's a xenomorph developing inside you right now.
Yeah.
It's just like...
could be.
You know, the facehugger disappears.
Monsters inside me.
Yeah.
If anybody has any, like, homeopathic remedies for...
Just go get some tenactin.
I just don't know if that's right what it is either. I've heard about it.
Are you sure it's athlete's foot?
But I'm obsessed.
She's not sure.
Freddie said.
I just know what athlete's foot looks like.
And then I have a coworker, Brad, who you all heard on High Five Happy Hour recently. He's like, oh, I've had athlete's foot since high school. He's definitely in his 40s. I'm like, is this a thing that just is your life now? And now I'm freaking out.
Did you get it from him?
No, I don't think so.
Did you guys like drink the same chocolate milk?
Well, that happened.
Well. Anyway, that's what happens when you're not careful. Be safe, everybody.
So this has been a fun Embarrassing Bodies episode.
We're old, Amy. We're old.
You're old.
Our bodies are breaking down.
I'm very excited to talk about Conan.
Yeah.
Me too.
Well, are you trying to say you're done with the poop talk?
No. I just wanted to reiterate that I'm soup-stoops excited.
Soup-stoops?
Soup-stoops.
And also I have a giant zit on my nose, too.
Oh, that's the worst. So painful. Mm-hmm. Listeners, what's going on with your bodies?
Tell us about
we're falling apart.
That's the beauty of the show Embarrassing Bodies. Freddie and I were just watching it last night. A man had difficulty peeing because he had too much skin down there.
He had buried penis.
Buried penis.
Oh, is that the guy who lost a lot of weight?
Yeah,
I saw that too.
Oh, the surgery, man.
Wait, but if he lost a bunch of weight, his penis should have come back out.
But it was all the skin down there. It was covering hanging. It up.
He had an apron.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, he had a Dickie apron. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a real name?
Yeah, Dickie apron. Dickie apron?
Yeah.
It would be a British person.
He definitely. Dickie apron, the butcher.
It's me, Dickie apron.
But when the episode where they rolled the skin back from the penis, it was like a push pop. It was like, whoop.
Was it orange?
So
orange and cold.
Do they still make those?
It's like a Flintstones push-up.
Dude, I love a Flintstones push-up.
Yeah, me too.
The point of Embarrassing Bodies, of course, is to say, listen, we all got this shit.
Everybody's got weird shit.
We got shit.
Yeah.
So... this is my shit. I got
shit.
I got athlete's foot. I don't have
Pixie
shit.
Scared of spiders. How monstrous.
Dr. Pixie. Any other... Oh, Shannon Doherty is coming to Horror Hound Weekend in August, and I feel a feeling about that.
Yeah?
Yeah, what
feeling? I don't know. I think that's crazy and kind of awesome.
I think you should run up to her and go, da-na-na-na, da-na-na-na, and then just look at her.
I always expectantly. Like Shannon Doherty quite a bit.
Yeah, I think, you know, she's... she's a lady that might have been difficult, but, you know, so am I.
I have no feelings about her.
I liked her bad girl edge.
Bad girl. Yeah. Drunk by six.
Speaking of Horror Hound Weekend, officially, I will not be there in August.
I know you
said. Bullshit.
You told us.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, man.
He's just trying to
make it up to you.
You're not. Yeah. What are you gonna? Do you have any words I need to carry to Shannon Doherty?
You can let her know that I have no feelings about her one way or the other. Just sure say, hey, Mrs. Doherty, I bring a message to my friend.
Of ambivalence.
He says, you're neither good nor bad to him. He really has never given you a second thought. But he doesn't dislike you.
No, I know, but I feel like I would rather someone dislike me than not even have a thought about me.
I've never had much of a thought about her. But I do want to go, da-na-na. Do that. That's what you can do for me.
What was it? Record it, and then we'll play it right in front of her.
Da-da-da-da.
It's like, this is our friend Kelly who doesn't care about you.
Yeah.
We'll just FaceTime you in.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
If you could.
All right. Well, we'll move on if everybody's cool with that.
Let's go on.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Sorry.
Oh my god, welcome back.
Welcome.
All right. Da-na-na-na.
Da-na-na-na. Da-na-na-na.
We go on.
I'm sorry, what?
So this dude named Miles.
We goon.
He is a person full of... You know what? Before I start, okay. I don't know how much I've ever talked about my phobias before. And how I was a very phobic person. Like, I would not drive on the highway for probably... How long was that, Freddie? Like,
years.
10 years or something?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't drive on the highway. I would get very nervous when I was driving with somebody on the freeway. Well,
because you were in a nearly...
really bad accident.
Murderous accident.
But then I think I was just going through a time also. My, like, late teens, early 20s. And I was a very, like, freaked out about everyone I loved dying all the time. And it was just, like, a really... I went through some stuff. I was hospitalized. I had suicide attempts. Like, it was bad. Late teens, early 20s. I'm a totally put together person now. No, but I, you know, through...
Well, you keep it high and tight.
I think I keep it as high and tight as I can.
Yeah.
Let's just say. That's why I love my therapy right now and my Cymbalta. But, when you meet Miles, who's the main character of this movie, I kind of... related to him because he has a lot of phobias. He won't drive because he was in a bad accident and his father was killed when he was a baby. Mm-hmm. And he's just afraid of everything.
Is he afraid of bugs?
Aren't we all?
I have a bug phobia.
Also, this actor's a super charming, if odd looking.
Why did you? Why did we?
But handsome, but odd looking.
Is
and
it
then handsome?
Is
and then
it British?
No.
But
he sounds like a British actor.
No, I just think I like his unique look. Okay. That's all. It's a good thing.
Freddie likes to cut of his jib.
I like this actor a lot.
No, he is very charming. So
yeah,
he has just finally decided he's had enough. And what he would like, he thinks what would help him is to find evidence of life after death.
Oh.
Like something he can't doubt. And then that would help him feel more free to live.
Because right? Then if he dies, he's like, but it's okay because I go on.
So he puts a ad in the paper, and his mom shows up, Annette O'Toole.
Yeah.
Love her.
She's like, what the hell? Damn it, kid. And then she's like, all right, I'll help you.
What does the ad say?
Says like, $30,000 reward for evidence that I cannot doubt of life after death. Angels, ghosts, whatever. I just want this evidence.
That just sounds like cookie talk.
What?
Cookie talk.
Oh, cookie talk.
Yeah.
Cookie crisp.
If you see that in the paper, would you be like, what the fuck?
What about vampires? Would that count?
I guess so, yeah. Well, that's not real. Well.
What about revenants?
All right, now you're just.
What about animated skeletons?
Write the makers of this movie.
Okay.
They are the makers of Yellow Brick Road, too, if you haven't seen that.
I haven't seen Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
I get that sometimes mixed up with Toad Road, which I did see and hated.
Yeah.
Toad Road. But Yellow Brick Road is the one with the like the noise, right?
Yeah, it's really pretty good.
You take a lift on
Toad Road. Quite good.
I remember you reviewing it and you really liked it.
Yeah.
So Beverly Marsh helps him.
Right.
Because she's his mom. Helps him go through all the stuff. And he's got like thousands of responses and lots of craziness. But he's got three maybes that he thinks are credible enough to move forward with. A professor who claims that if you get yourself back into that mind frame of being a kid, you can, like, have these experiences.
John Glover?
Yeah, John Glover.
Who, isn't that weird that you have Ma Kent?
To Smallville.
And Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
In this movie.
So he goes to visit, I'm not going to spoil this movie, but I will say he goes to visit the professor, and it turns out he's kind of faking it. But it was a really creepy little story about going back to somewhere that scared Miles, which was his middle school, where a little boy was stuffed into a locker. They don't know how he ended up in the locker, but like the last day of school, and nobody found him till the fall.
That's like a scary story from the dark.
That's like Gremlins.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
The coffin locker, they called it, which was a really cool story. And so then he goes on to the next.
What if you got that locker next year?
Well, it's like you gotta never give that locker.
This is a little bit like Legend of Hell House, where a rich old coot hires a bunch of parapsychologists to go into an extremely haunted house. And
yeah, but Miles is not like, he's just like an editor.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's like a, you know.
Yeah. And Annette O'Toole's very like protective of him, like threatening all the people he goes to see. Like, she's like, fuck with my kid.
I worry about you. I worry a lot.
And you're like, oh no, she didn't learn. Then he goes to see a medium who's a woman who works in a Mexican restaurant, and she.
He was originally looking for a large, but that.
He's like, well, whatever I can get. Well, but you know, the medium's at Wendy's.
Wait, I'm back. Like
are large.
I got like a laugh and kill joke. I'm back.
Can't we be here all week, guys?
Yeah. Tip your waiters.
And
waitresses.
I ran back here so I could laugh at that, Kelly.
Thank you.
I was yelling at the dogs, but when I heard you say he was looking for a large, and you're like, I knew these two wouldn't appreciate.
I did.
And you're boy, like, are Kelly's arms tired?
I appreciate it, man. But I knew you. It was really for you.
Thank you.
So the medium sees dead people.
Yeah.
She's haunted. And she's like.
Patricia Arquette?
No. Wouldn't that be funny if it was? Yeah. She, the mom is like, she's full of shit because she says all these things about this guy named Bill who's suffocating. She's like, there's nobody named Bill who suffocates. It's stupid.
Bills never suffocate.
So they ditch the medium, and then he goes to see the entrepreneur who claims to have found this Tibetan box. That when you open the box, you have your proof.
Ooh, what's in the box?
I love haunted objects. Mm-hmm.
So he's on it. They're waiting. They get to the entrepreneur's house a little too early, and he sees a friend of his, and he goes to talk to him, and he's like, hey, man, I haven't seen you since high school. What's going on? The guy's like, oh, I got a special effects company. We're setting something up at this guy's house right now to, like, this thing with this box and stuff. And he's like, well, fuck.
Oh.
You know?
What a douchebag.
I know. So the box is a bust.
Unreal.
And then he
What's in the box is disappointment instead of Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
It's Red Snapper, a tasty fish.
Yeah.
So he eventually, he gets his voicemail, and he doesn't know how he got the voicemail because he didn't give out his phone number. And he's like, well, maybe I'll check this dude out that called me and said, hey, I can get you proof. And there's some things that's when the movie kind of takes off. And it gets spooky. There's some spookiness.
Sorry, I had to adjust my balls.
I see that. How are they?
Well, better now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Were they like under a leg or something?
They were like pulling against the chair. Oh. Like,
that's tough.
Yeah.
Hey, when that happens.
I had to get them back out.
Yeah. So he ends up meeting up with this dude that called him. And then it just goes gaboinga from there.
Gaboinga?
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Bazinga boinga.
Oh my gosh.
Boingo boingo.
It's a big bang from here on out.
A bingo bango.
And because I enjoyed the movie, I will not continue and I will not spoil it. I think it's something that is definitely worth people's time. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be sad.
It's not.
Because.
There are moments, but I don't think it's heavy. Just it's not
way,
heavy.
The way you talk about this guy, he's really charming and nice and you root for him. Mm-hmm. I feel like. Mm-hmm. Something bad might happen to him, and you don't want anything bad to happen to him.
Well, he's got big ears.
He loves Looney Tunes cartoons.
Yeah.
This man's ears are so fantastic.
They're huge. He can hear us talking about him right now.
Yeah.
But you thought it was good.
I did think it was good.
Good.
I think it was worth a watch. I know it's on Shudder. See if you have that, watch it there.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you, kids.
A lot of Stephen King stuff on Shudder right now, by the way.
I saw that.
Yeah, they just—I saw fun. That they a bunch of shit hit.
The
like
Salem's it. Lot miniseries.
Salem's Lot's on there.
I love that.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very spooky.
Yeah. All right, well, let's shoot somebody.
Toby Hooper, by the way. That's something nice I could say about Toby
Hooper. That is something nice.
I just said, let's shoot somebody, and you said, Toby Hooper, by the way.
And
I don't want to shoot Toby Hooper.
Well, we do want to shoot Toby Hooper, because that way no one living dies.
Oh, that's a good point. If we shoot a dead person, no one has to watch a movie.
But what if you have a movie gun with a movie bullet in it?
Well, let's do that.
Oh. All right, Mikey B isn't even here. But it's through the magic of the internet.
He's here in spirit.
Yeah.
Shoot his spirit.
He's going to shoot himself.
Shoot it all over his face.
Maybe. He lived. Andy, don't shit your pants. Oh. You live.
I shit my pants, though.
Kelly?
Oh, boy.
You live, Freddy!
Nicely done, all right. Kelly.
All right, baby. Well, you said you thought this looked good, so good for
I
you.
I wanted to see this movie anyway.
It's called Dead Body.
I didn't say I thought it looked good.
What an interesting title.
It's on Amazon Prime.
That's like ingredients.
It's just ingredients.
This I saw this movie description. I'm like, fuck yeah. And I'm like, Freddie, you're going to hate me. And he's like, actually, this looks kind of fun. 9 college kids gather in a remote cabin to play Dead Body, murderous spin on hide and seek.
That sounds fun.
Brutal murders start piling up, and one of them takes the game too far. It's up to the group to figure out who the killer is before a terrifying final showdown. Accusations fly.
Jeff, stop taking this game so far!
Old grudges resurface, and bodies hit the floor!
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Is the description allowed to say, in this classic slasher whodunit?
Oh my god.
You're not allowed to call yourself a classic. Maybe certainly not when you came out in 2017.
Wendy's, you know, they call their...
The Big Bacon Classic. Yeah, do they still have... I don't know, do they still do that?
They might have the Big Bacon Classic. I don't know.
I think they call it Baconators now.
Well, that's a different sandwich.
Well, because then they used to have the single, and now they call it Dave's Juicy Single.
This is the fattest conversation we've ever had.
Juicy Double Bubble.
It sounds like you're eating
Listen, listener, let us fat in peace.
It does.
Let us... I want a burger now.
Sir Mix-a-Lot loves that one. That's his favorite burger at Wendy's, the Juicy Double.
All right, anything else before we continue with Conan?
I can't think of a thing.
Mm-mm.
All right, we'll be right back.
This week's main attraction, the long-awaited 1982, Conan the Barbarian. Like I said, so good.
Long awaited
by us. Yeah. Me and Kelly.
You just came up with an idea a few months ago.
It just
ago.
Came out.
Right, yeah, fine.
We've always wanted an excuse to talk about it. And then Andy said, I've never seen these movies.
I haven't either.
And Amy had neither.
Yeah.
So this first one, written by Oliver Stone, based on the characters by Robert Howard, and also co-written by John Milius, the director.
He's got a great pedigree.
He does. He's really great. If you, he wrote Apocalypse Now.
Yep.
He worked on Rome, the TV series. He's kind of a tough guy. In real life, he's kind of one of those.
He's always, I'm a tough guy. Beating people up in bars.
Yeah, he's a.
That's not cool.
No, he's not.
That part I made up. I don't think that's true.
Yep. So this is Schwarzenegger's big breakout role. He is basically a child soldier slave. Of the Tulsa Doom cult.
Can we talk for a moment about Conan, the character?
Yes, please.
Robert Howard, basically, like, he's, I'm sure there were some other people maybe doing something similar. I have no idea, but he sort of invented sword and sorcery the way Tolkien invented high fantasy. Like, there might have been other people kind of doing it, but he solidified it. Like, he made it into a thing. And Conan is such a great and complex character because on one hand you want to say he's just a big dumb warrior, but he's actually like a really cunning thief and
right
a great like military general. In the books he's a pirate too,
right? He does everything.
Yeah,
well, so, did you guys read the books first or the movie first?
I saw the movie before I read the books.
I read the books before I saw the movie.
And I've noticed, too, that like this version of Conan in this film is more of the L. Sprague de Camp, the later writings. The Robert Howard stories, at least, I don't think I've read them all, but all the ones I've read, you don't get a lot of backstory on Conan.
No, it's true. And all those ones, the L. Sprague de Camp, and Robert Jordan actually wrote quite a few Conan stories. There is a lot of good, like, Conan fiction written by other authors, right, too. And all the comics are really great. Savage Sword of Conan, in yeah. particular, and the Dark Horse
The
stuff.
New Dark Horse stuff. Well, I say new, but it's been around for years now. But
the Cary Nord, like, the stuff, the art after Cary Nord left the Dark Horse is not as good.
Yeah.
The stories are still good, but the Cary Nord set...
Yeah,
is amazing. They're amazing,
and they're
comics.
All adaptations of Robert Howard stories yeah. when they first start, at least.
Yeah,
and then the thing to know about the Conan, these were like weird tales, right?
Right,
and then they're like short adventure stories where usually Conan's a thief, and he has somehow stumbled into something that went completely haywire.
Yep.
And he's wrapped up in somebody else's politics, somebody else's intrigue.
Somebody tells him to steal something, and it turns out it's like they're trying to take down some sorcerer.
Yeah.
And he goes, and he steals the gem from the sorcerer, fights their monkey, fucks their wife.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to hear, because I don't feel like there was any intrigue in yeah. this movie.
I never got that idea that he's this wily, cunning thief.
No.
I just...
The movie does not
well,
give you that.
I just got the idea where he's just this...
He's just like a
nice guy.
I'm like a nice
but
guy.
But like a dumb warrior guy.
But well, I got these big muscles.
That's where DeCamp comes in, the guy who was a huge Robert Howard fan, who picked up the reins and wrote Conan the Barbarian, where he gave him this epic storyline. Where he says, no, well, what about, where did Conan come from? Okay, he's a Sumerian, and his people are wiped out by this evil cultist, and he becomes a slave, and they build him up only to make him so tough and powerful that at one moment, Red, the slave keeper who grew up with him,
yeah,
because he's also like a kid in the beginning,
right,
sets him free, and you could read that a few different ways. Like Andy or Mike, one of you guys said, oh, is he just decided he wants to let Conan go because he likes him? And I'm like, no, I said he knows that if he keeps Conan around sooner or
later,
he's gonna kill him.
Yeah.
And that's like what happens is they build this child soldier slave up.
He's
fighting in the pits now.
He's just a fighter.
Yeah.
He's not anything else in this movie but right. a fighter, well, and he stumbles.
He thieves. You get the
impression. Was that his yeah. idea, or was it Bowl Cut Friend?
He becomes a thief because he hooks up with Bowl Cut Friend.
The guy had a bowl cut. It was his friend. And this is what I don't remember his name.
Isn't that like pseudo-Asian guy?
Yes.
Subutai.
Yes.
Interestingly, too, yeah. like in the book, Thulsa Doom was actually a Kull villain.
Yeah.
Kull, King Kull and Kull the Conqueror, which was an early... I don't know if he was earlier... But it was a different Robert Howard character.
Right.
I'm trying to remember. Who is the sorcerer that is normally Conan's in the books?
I can't remember.
Not Akaz. I can't think. Like
the one who comes up in Destroyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Well, no, I don't know if he isn't. Is that the villain is in the Destroyer?
I thought the whole mirrored hall thing. We'll get to that next
Please
week.
Please continue.
He's definitely the big villain in the...
But yeah, it is interesting the way DeCamp does bring in... this different villain,
right,
and mixes kind of the mythologies. Like the Conan world has all these other, they do have other characters.
Oh yeah,
as we'll get into in the next couple episodes.
It's
too.
Very Lovecraftian. Of course, Robert Howard and H.P. Lovecraft are buddies, and they borrowed from each other.
But their writing styles could be more different too.
Yeah, they were very different, but yeah. they did both mix into each other's worlds.
Right.
H.P. Lovecraft talked about Hyperborea. Yeah. And definitely a lot of the gods and stuff that showed up in Robert Howard stuff
yeah.
were very H.P. Lovecraft inspired.
So does eventually Conan become more of a guy who's self-serving and is looking up for the greater good? Or is he always the self-serving character that just stumbles upon these things? And
I think do you mean self-serving the way I take that as very like selfish? Because I don't think he is that.
No, he like Freddie said, he steals something, but then it turns out this thing he's stealing is for a bad thing or something like that.
Like he's part of an intrigue that
he doesn't want to be used.
He's dumb. Right. Does he get smarter, I think, is what Andy's trying to.
Oh, he's not dumb.
No, he's not dumb, but you don't.
Oh, he's dumb in this movie.
I don't know if he's dumb in this movie.
I think you're reading into
Schwarzenegger's face.
I also think that it sounds like he's the Han Solo character, but eventually Solo joins up with the bigger...
The difference is, well, eventually Conan becomes king.
Becomes king, but he doesn't like it.
Right, so he quits. But here's the thing about Conan is you're not getting a lot of internal worrying, planning, monologuing. He's a man of the moment.
Yep.
So what happens is he's like, I need money. that place is full of gold coins. I'm
gonna
break in there.
Yeah, he's just bopping along.
But when I say self-serving, he's only looking out for himself and kind of that.
He doesn't like when people are shitheads and like right. other people, like
feathered-haired lady.
He doesn't necessarily care, but he also doesn't like seeing people get pushed around right. by powerful people. He hates sorcerers.
And once he makes a friend, you're his friend forever, and he is fiercely loyal.
Now I know you, based on this conversation, you like Conan.
Mm-hmm. I think the word "like" isn't strong enough, Amy. Strong enough.
You love no, like as a character.
Yes, yeah.
This motherfucker punched a goddamn camel.
He did.
Tell me why I shouldn't.
Tell
hate
me why.
Him.
And he kicked a rat too.
Yeah.
Well,
the rat flew through the air.
That camel was simply there.
That camel spit on him.
Well, you don't know what that camel did to Conan's family in the past. That part we didn't get to see.
That camel wasn't alive back then when his family yeah. was alive.
He punched
a motherfucking camel.
He had some bad Stygian weed.
Yeah, he did.
He was under the influence, Amy.
I've never Black punched an animal yeah. because I was fucked up.
You don't know that.
So there's the background. I'm sorry I usurped that. The conversation for a minute. Around. Let's get back to the movie.
Right. So the movie picks up. We've kind of explained Conan is pushing the Wheel of Pain. He's the final survivor of all these child slaves.
Too. Yeah, so he... His family in the beginning mm-hmm. is very much about steel.
Right.
So are they a people that have that secret and that's why Thulsa Doom comes along?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
What it is steel. You got to think of this as, and this is not based in any real history than like, because Robert Howard's whole thing was this is prehistoric.
Right.
So this isn't really the age of steel in reality. This is a fantasy world where they are just coming into the age of steel.
It's a sweet, sweet fantasy, baby.
But you said it was like based on fantasy. It's not real, but I like, I saw like nods to certain cultures throughout.
Right.
So I liked it because it was kind of grounded, even though it was fantastical.
Right. Like
our imaginations will only go so far.
There's a lot of Norse mythology, but there's also some Egyptian. A
lot of Egyptian and Eastern stuff.
Yeah. The Far East is in walking distance. the other side of the world.
I think it's a smaller, like, I think Robert Howard's world is a smaller world.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Conan's people, think of it as the Age of Steel is almost like a nuclear power coming, where this village, they're making steel weapons, and that's a big deal because other people don't have them.
Yeah.
So, Thulsa Doom with his bangs of power.
Yep.
Comes along.
A very creepy villain.
That should have turned you off his cult right away. Once you saw him bang,
yeah,
like, nope.
I'm like, nah.
His Betty Page wig.
You can't be walking around thinking that's okay.
It's like, you can't lead us with those bangs.
You're fucking crazy.
That's how you know he's super badass, because he just wears them, and he long hair don't care.
Like, his two goons, too.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, what 70s metal band were you in?
Max von Sydow.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah. Later, the king.
Yeah.
His henchman had a leather duster on.
Like, they were straight up Spinal Tap rejected actors.
So they come in, they slaughter the entire village, and they take all the children as prisoners. This is happening now in Africa as well. In real life, in case you're, it really is.
I didn't mean to laugh at that before he's
So there's going to be a Black Conan coming up soon, right?
Yeah, you can visit the Wheel of Pain.
Yeah, the Wheel of Pain is real.
So what is the Wheel? Is that, does it serve a purpose or just to punish the kids?
Yeah,
I don't remember if they say in the book, I always presumed it was grinding grist. It was making something.
I thought it was like making like a wheat flour or something. Yeah.
But they're building them, and they kind of insinuate later that they did this also to weed out the strongest ones.
Right. Well, sort of like almost like a concentration camp thing, too, just to like kill off the weak ones. And
And then they realize he's not going anywhere, so he gets kind of promoted from the Wheel of Pain to fighting in the pits.
Because his will for revenge makes him stronger instead of killing him.
Yeah.
I did like it was the sad little scene where you slowly see these kids like, go off one by one, and he's the last one pushing the wheel.
Yeah. You know, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Yep. So he ends up in the pits, and he becomes the champion of the pits. And Red Hair is like, one night, he's like, he sees how badass Conan's getting. And in my, just again, that's what's great about the way Milius directed this.
I called that guy Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah. Henry Zebrowski. Milius leaves so much to the audience's interpretation.
There, what's great too, there's so little dialogue.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much of it is just, you just got to watch it.
There is no dialogue.
Well,
really?
Really, the first time you hear Conan speak is.
What is best in life?
Is during they're in the gladiatorial situation.
You do hear him go, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, you hear him make
so love. Stylistic choice or understanding their actors' limitations?
I don't know.
Why not both?
Oh.
Yeah, it works.
How about that?
How about that?
So they ask Conan.
Cash Conan outside. How about
I would not like to.
Around the fire, what's best in life?
He will rape me.
And he delivers like this variation on the Genghis Khan.
To crush your enemies. Yeah. See them driven before you and hear the lamentations of the women.
Yeah.
Like, did he phonetically learn that? Or did he understand what he was saying? Oh my God.
They put peanut butter on his gums.
Picked up fun.
Conan's voice was carefully recreated by
a bunch of rocks being
a bunch of rocks
being pushed around a giant bag of haggis.
Yeah, it was Mike Myers.
It was weird to see this very flowery speech coming out of a guy like him.
You thought that was flowery?
Kind of, not flowery, but very
poetic.
Yeah.
Big words.
Yeah.
Lamentations has a few syllables in it.
It's like that. It's like a that. Handful. Like tough guy. Like,
it's paraphrasing Genghis Khan,
yeah,
right. Who he said something like blah blah blah.
Very go fuck Mongolian. The whole whole look throughout the.
Well, there's a lot of. Well, he also in the story he heads east.
Yeah,
and like I said, east is not. It's not like walking from Europe to Asia. This is a much smaller world. He gets there and he meets a witch. Who he's looking for the standard.
This is so great too.
I fucking in the fire.
There are so many scenes I love.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like the Odyssey, right?
Yeah, somewhere.
Hercules?
Yeah, it's this epic story.
You know,
not Hercules, it's what an I'm epic. Thinking of.
Yeah. And as much as he meets weirdies along the way. And
it's your basic fantasy.
She says she'll tell the future for him if he fucks her.
Yeah.
Is basically their agreement.
Yeah, she's like a demon witch.
Yeah, and in the middle of that, she goes apeshit.
Yeah,
and turns into some sort of vampire and he's monster
like,
thing.
Nope, shoves her in the fire.
But not before she reveals that they're in Zamora. That's where he can find the cult of Set and Thulsa Doom.
Yeah, the Tower of the Snake.
The Tower Serpent. Of the Snake.
And then her spirit flies away, which I love.
And I love Schwarzenegger's reaction to it. And I do think
When she throws the shit in the fire, he's like, whoa!
Yeah, he has these great big reactions, like silent film face acting. It's so great. This is actually not bad acting.
Mm-mm.
This is his best role. I think he did a great job. And I know that you guys think it's silly.
I think he gives the character depth.
He does.
Honestly.
Yeah.
He's like a regular dude, kind of. Like, I can relate to Conan.
If you want Conan to be very infantile in his reactions, sure.
I'd probably react the same way.
Schwarzenegger's never done anything for me.
Well, it's good
outside of the Terminator movies.
He helped you move that time.
Remember?
Oh, you're right.
Remember, he was like, "Where do you want to see me?" And I was like, "Oh, it's I don't know. You can put it over there." He's like, "You want it next to the curio cabinet?"
It was the couch he was carrying across the room for you.
Well, I think
in one hand,
it's kind of weird to see him being so one note when you describe his character as this really smart, cunning guy.
Exactly, because Schwarzenegger has not given me what you described in any way, shape, or form.
I guess you have...
That being said, don't get me wrong. Yeah. It was still a fun watch, but...
I think kind of we're prejudging it based on what we know of Schwarzenegger.
Right. Well, I agree. Like, you gotta understand, I saw this movie at 5 or 6 years old.
And again,
I didn't know who Schwarzenegger was.
There were too many titties
yet.
In this to be watching it at that age.
It doesn't matter.
Talking to your mom.
You can talk to her all you want.
Shelby.
And
I do talk to her.
If you come into this without all those preconceived notions about who he is as a person, and you realize that he is really representing this character in a way no one else can.
It makes sense because probably Schwarzenegger was like, "What is all? I'm on a movie set. Was this his first like big movie?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so, that said, I do, not to interrupt you, and I wanted to come back to this, I do also really like the Jason Momoa Conan.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people didn't because I think a lot of people try to compare that, like call it a remake, and I don't think of that as a remake, but a different adaptation.
No, it's a different story.
Yeah. That one is very much like the Dark Horse comics, and I actually like it a lot. I do think you and me at least should do a bonus about that one.
I agree.
Maybe no, I was just saying,
if
your interpretation of the character is he is just now seeing the world because he's been a slave, and then he's just like, what? Then Schwarzenegger's fine for that. But to me, he's not very charismatic, and it just doesn't work.
Well, you also got to remember, too, here's
the way you're talking about it.
he's a young dude.
I can't not be 38.
You're seeing him again
in 2018, knowing about the Governator. Right, I can't not.
He's just using his legs for the first time. You know what I mean? Like, this is a kid.
He's a little baby giraffe.
Yeah. He's I mean, really, honestly, if you're...
He's a kid with bone and a witch.
Right. From a storytelling standpoint, he may be 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
This character.
All right.
Okay. And then he's just getting out in the world. He hooks up with Sobotai, who's like, free me. By the way, this character is being held by this witch probably to be eaten or something.
Right. And he is, I mean, he's smart, but he is simple. Like, I don't know how to, you know exactly what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he smart doesn't have, simple.
He's well, not, he survived all this time, so there's...
He's really smart, but he's not complicated. He doesn't need a bunch of goo-gaw. He's not setting up, you know, he doesn't have agendas. He just is trying to, like, go from day to day.
You mean Sobotai or Conan?
Conan.
Yeah, and they're kind of kindred spirits in a way, because
right
now Sobotai, you get the impression that he is just going from place to place, barely surviving.
Right.
And his whole thing, they have this conversation after he and Conan become buddies about how his god is like the wind, and he's
free. The four
he's,
winds.
He's like Patrick Swayze. And
she's like a wind.
And he's out there just enjoying life. And they kind of relate to each other, and they become a team.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to Zamora together to rob this tower, because as it just turns out, Sobotai is a talented thief.
I thought it was they were so adorable together.
Yeah.
I think at one point they were skipping through a field.
Yeah.
It was really cute.
Very childlike. Yeah.
And when they get to the tower in Zamora, well, first they go to the city, and they have a pretty good time together.
Yeah.
And they buy some bad weed.
Is this before or after the camel punching?
Well, he buys the bad weed, which leads to the camel punching. And then, that night, they're ready to attack the tower.
Yep.
And so, happens is they're not the only two thieves that planned on robbing the tower that night.
They got feather hair, don't care.
Yeah, you get Valeria, she turns up.
Yep.
And she's like, you motherfuckers are here to rob this place too. And they're like, well, let's do it together, more the merrier. And now we've got our trio. And they go in and they fuck shit up.
They fuck shit up. I love the scene of them putting on their camo war paint.
Yeah. Oh, so that's, near the end. Yeah,
when you get so to fucking
that.
Badass.
I love that. This one is, she basically teaches Conan how to climb a tower.
Yep.
Which he uses a lot in the stories. He climbs into a lot
of
shit.
A lot of towers. Tower of the Elephant.
Yeah.
Tower of the Serpent.
Yeah. He's always climbing shit.
The Tower of Terror.
Tower of Terror.
Because everything was in towers.
Yeah.
All the good shit's kept in towers, people.
That's where it's all at.
Mm-hmm.
Jewels, monkeys, wives.
So they end up in this tower, and there's a ritual going on. There's all these priests of Set.
Giant snake.
But the big man's not there. Dulce Doom is not there. But there are some jewels in this very big snake.
Yep.
Very big. And also not CGI, because this is pre-CGI, and boy, does it look good.
Yeah, it does.
So they basically just, you know, they're like, well, shit.
Well, no, they make the best of a bad situation.
I mean, they get the stuff they can get, but they're like, moving on.
They kill the snake.
The cult's looking to sacrifice, a willing sacrifice to this giant snake. In the meantime, they're up above at the top of this pit, and Valeria is checking all that shit out. Conan and Sobotai have ended up down here with a snake, and they kill it.
Fuck this snake!
Yeah, and the sacrifice is tossed in.
And it just falls.
She's upset
that
the snake's dead, which is really funny, because she's like, oh, now I won't be eaten. But man, boy, that cult's upset too.
Yeah, they are.
And
boy, howdy.
And our trio has to narrowly escape this place with their jewels and such.
Their jewels and their genitals.
Yeah. This whole fiasco really impresses the king.
Mm-hmm. Max
von Sydow, the incomparable.
And here is this is a funny thing, because this influenced, I feel like, Krall, Dragon Slayer, and what's the other one where like somebody's daughter gets influenced into another?
Taken with Liam Neeson?
No, it's 80s. Well, Conan the they're taking a princess somewhere else in that, but
oh, he's taking a princess for real.
But like, Krall is a very similar storyline, because the princess in that is also like a willing member of a cult, and the king sends Krallman together.
John Krallman. So, Max von Sydow.
You know what his favorite desserts are?
Are the Krullers?
Yeah.
So,
he's like, take these 30 million rubies and go fuck some shit up. Well,
you think they're in trouble with the king?
No, yeah. he's like, I want my daughter back.
He's like, you're BA. You're pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie.
You have a certain set of skills, and I want you to get my daughter back.
And he does. He gives him a shit ton of rubies. Mm-hmm. And Valeria and Conan have gotten sweet on each other at this point. And
it's a very sweet romance.
Yeah, there's some oily, some love making, fucking,
some like romping about, rolling and rolling,
rutting,
some down by the fire.
It's rutting season, as Mikey B likes to say.
It's rutting season.
And she's like, you know what? We could just take these jewels and run. But Conan's like, she doesn't know all this, but he's like, well, I've got another reason.
Yeah, he wants to kill False Doom
to go. Besides saving this daughter,
that's like it's almost secondary to him.
Yeah, and so that's creaky.
That's me.
Is that you?
He's got the creakiest chair.
We need some WD-40 up in here.
It's my joints.
Oh, is it your joints?
You need to see a jointologist.
Oil can. He takes off in the night because he realizes she doesn't want to go, and at this point this is when he meets the wizard, right? Yeah,
the wizard
Mako. The character name I can't remember.
I thought, can I tell you, I know, and I never looked this up before, I always thought that the narrator was the guy who plays Egg Shen in Big Trouble in Little China. It's not
Victor Wong.
Yeah, Victor Wong. Yeah. And it's because it sounds just like him.
He does, but he has the voice of Splinter.
Yeah,
the wizard in this. Yeah. So he is just called the wizard. He doesn't have a name. He lives in this little Baba Yaga style hut, but it's out in the middle of these Stonehenge type area.
Yep.
And he explains to Conan that this area, I guess, is some, I don't know if it's cursed.
The spirits are, yeah, they're spirits.
It's strong though. He can't even have a fire at the top of the hill.
Right.
And, because of the mystical powers and this, it looks like Stonehenge.
Yeah.
And, they kind of become friendly with each other too. They realize that they're both crazy.
Yeah.
It's like everyone Conan meets is like, are you as crazy as I am? And they're like, yeah, I'm fucked up. And they bond over their unspoken traumas. And at this point,
this is when he goes to the KKK convention.
This is one of my favorite parts too.
He sneaks in. I have
so many
in.
Favorite parts. He tricks a priest. He makes a priest think he's going to give him a little beej.
Yeah.
To take his robes.
I like this scene.
I love it.
Yeah. Where the guy actually hits on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's like, could we go over here and talk?
Well, it's interesting to see like a male character use his sexual wiles to trick somebody. It's usually a female character that lures a guy away and fools him and knocks him out. They flip it on his head and that's a dude.
Yeah. I feel like it's different. He would have gone a little further.
Oh yeah,
it didn't work.
Conan would do whatever he needed to do.
Yeah,
because the priest guy like feels his chest like, show your beautiful body.
I'm
like,
yeah. And, well, they're at, to set the scene, right, it's this big ziggurat where this is Thulsa Doom's big meeting place. It looks like Burning Man, only a lot more extreme.
With another tower.
With another tower.
It's like,
it's a very tower-heavy world.
At Coachella. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody's there, now, wearing their white robes and their hoods.
Yeah. You have all the hippies, but then you have the high priest.
And Conan's trying to sneak up in his priest outfit. But they fucking know. They knew.
Well, Thulsa Doom is a sorcerer.
Yeah. And they let him make it pretty far up with the other high priest before they
call him out
and they pull the Passion of the Christ on
crucify him.
Yeah,
so great. The Tree of Woe,
yeah,
it looks awesome.
It does.
What he does on the Tree of Woe is also awesome.
Yeah, he eats a vulture.
Is fucking eating him while he's sleeping on the cross. He's not even Jesus died like pretty quick.
3 days.
Conan is
in the Bible.
He's just napping.
So Conan's better than Jesus.
Napping. Conan's just napping.
Jesus, you thought you had it bad.
He wakes up and a vulture's eating him.
Yeah.
And he just grabs it by the throat with his teeth.
Yeah.
And throws it to the ground.
And right about then, Subutai turns up.
Yeah.
But you know what I liked about this scene? I got the idea that Conan was this indestructible, unbeatable guy. But he went through a lot of shit.
Oh, yeah. Conan didn't always just waltz in and like fucking, you know, destroy everything. I mean, he had some challenges.
Yeah. Well, his biggest challenge is killed him.
Yeah.
It showed that he's beatable. And I think that's, you know, shows some vulnerability and some depth to character from what I understood what it was before I knew, like, what he really was.
So he was dead And they took him, like, yeah. I guess I didn't get
Subutai
that.
Subutai rescues him from the tree, but it's too late. Conan has died.
Valeria, and they take him to Billy Crystal.
Yeah, they take him back to the wizard.
Have fun storming the castle,
Magic
guy.
Max.
Yeah. To this vortex area where he's living, and Valeria's like, do the gods owe you any favors? Great line.
Yeah, great line. A lot of great lines in this.
And he's like, clearly the gods do owe him some favors, but he's like, look.
It's going
to
cost us.
It's going to cost you, Valeria. There'll be a price to pay.
This is basically what happened to Daenerys in Game of Thrones. Like, yeah. She wanted her Drogo back.
Yeah.
And it cost her.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Always costs, kids.
Well, that was a Pet Cemetery thing.
Yeah. Soul for a soul.
That's all. Yeah.
And so they do the ceremony where the Oompa Loompa mop.
It's an Infinity War thing, too.
Don't. I haven't seen that shit.
I didn't say anything.
I will throw every cup in the world at you.
Every cup. The cup of Christ?
Especially that one.
So they
didn't say anything.
Did you feel like, well, they paint all these these symbols and runes on Conan's body.
Yeah.
They tie him to four posts in the ground. They wrap him up like an Oompa Loompa, and then these demon spirits come to take him to the underworld.
And they're like, they're gonna take him.
And it doesn't look good, but Valeria stops that shit in its tracks.
It's like, bitch. She is
Conan's equal in every way.
Yeah.
If not, probably stronger than
she was. She's a cooler head.
She has a cooler head.
She looks smarter. She just looks smarter. You know, like, there's a lot bigger light in her
head. Lights are on. Nobody's home with Conan.
But she fights him off, and Conan is... He's renewed and resurrected, and he decides to do some sword exercises.
Like, he was real ashy, now he's real greasy.
I love all, like, the scenes that are just for, like, visual awesomeness. Like, anytime he's swinging the sword around, posing, I love the posing.
It's pretty great.
It is awesome.
You like that, do you?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
You like that?
I love it.
So he has a renewed focus.
You like that?
I love it.
And he's ready to kick some ass.
Yeah.
Now he's got his team back together. Not only now
he's not playing no mo.
Now they are four.
Mm-hmm.
And
four strong.
So three of them paint their bodies up in awesome camo and go into the orgy complex.
This is everything about this is creepy and awesome.
Yeah. The first shot of them sneaking in, this is very Temple of Doom, this moment. There are what look like pigs hanging up.
Yeah. Nope.
That was a great choice. Whoever did the set design and the effects for this scene, especially, like, you see meat hanging up. It's split down the middle. It looks like pork, but it's not quite right.
Yep.
Not quite pork. And it's so in the background it's really kind of a creepy moment.
This whole part is super creepy. Like, from the beginning of this sequence to the end.
Yeah.
Is really creepy.
And there's all these slaves who are
pleasure seekers.
They're making some sort of, you don't know what it is. It's a big
stew.
Pot.
It's a stew.
For all you know, in this scene it could be they're melting steel or whatever, but like, it's revealed that when they take it into the orgy chamber, they're like, oh, there's a buffet at this orgy.
Yep.
And it's this green soup. It's
people parts.
And a woman comes up and takes a hand out of it and takes a bite out of the hand.
Yeah.
And it's
I love it.
It's people. It's green people soup.
It looked like slime from Nickelodeon.
Yes. Yes.
So they, Subutai,
bunch Conan, of pleasure,
Valeria, everybody's fucking Caligula style on the floor.
I also like how when they're when the three of them are like looking, you can tell they're kind of like, ugh. Like everybody else in the room is like into it.
Yeah.
So
they're judging.
This green pot, was that for the orgy participants?
Clearly. Like, one of them came
you
up.
You gotta get calories.
It's a party treat.
Like, it wears you well, so you need a break, so you need to get some of that green liquid, right?
Get your strength back.
Oh. So it's crazy that
they're
also cannibals on top of worshiping snakes. Thulsa Doom comes out.
They are a death cult, because I mean their whole thing they're is like, be ready people. To be empty.
Yeah. I'm scratching my belly. Kelly looked when I did it.
Mm-hmm. I was inspired. I thought about scratching my belly.
Thulsa Doom comes out and he does an American Snake in London.
This is one of the coolest moments of anything ever.
That's what I thought at first. But then it was a cop out.
Andy was upset.
There's a cop out.
That they didn't go full American Werewolf in London. They just showed his face stretch a little and then they
saw a little bit of stretchy face.
Just like a little bit.
And then the next scene, it's a snake with a wig on.
He's a fucking snake.
But let me tell you why I think that makes it better. I think it's so simple and abrupt that it's To me, don't look at me like that.
I will.
I have cups.
Don't. Those are my cups.
Then he threw her own cups at her.
It's so creepy the way it happens because he's just sitting there.
It's like Anna Kendrick.
Watching all this shit.
Yeah.
And just, it's like so casual the way he becomes a snake.
But the lead up to it.
It was so lame. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
No, I think it's the best part.
I like it too. I like that it's just another day at the orgy hut.
It's simple. Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to be a snake now. And he pulls his hands up and he's like, I'm a snake.
It's just like, that's just happening while all this other stuff is happening. Yeah. It's just like a thing that he does.
Yeah.
To disagree.
Well,
he's like, I'm going to take my true form for a little while since everybody else is naked.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I read that.
I'm not saying it wasn't a cool, creepy thing. It was just that.
He wanted more. You wanted a more spectacle.
Some
more
transformation scene. Quick, stretchy face, which.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell that's not it, James Earl Jones.
Well, one of the things,
and then bam, I'm a snake.
They don't try to overdo the effects in this. Like that might have been a bit of a stretch. I mean, John Milius, I don't think is a that wasn't even intentional.
Yeah,
I mean, he's not like a Spielberg-y guy. You know, he's more of a grounded director. So I thought it was perfect.
Well. Then the shit gets stirred up because
It doesn't hit the fan because they don't have fans.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what got the ball rolling for the fight. I can't remember what triggered everything.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but the point of the
they climbed scene. One of them climbed over something and startled one of the. Potsters,
it's
maybe?
Just a big fight. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, big fight. I think the best fight sequence in the movie.
They throw the
some of the best music in the movie. Is
great. Which, by the way, the soundtrack is amazing.
Yeah.
I have it on vinyl.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Elise has it because I gave it to her. But, like, it's awesome.
Basil Polidorus.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best ever.
Amy was very, she was like, is that a real name?
Is that real?
Yeah.
She was very hesitant to believe that's a real name.
So, it's Greek.
Okay.
They weigh lace to these sexing orgents.
Yeah. They're all too busy
orgents.
So they get the princess
and they junk rubbing.
Yeah, they ride
the
off.
Out of
they
there,
save the
yeah.
princess and they're headed away from the cave when James Earl Jones comes back in his human form. He pulls a snake out of
He's not
quiver.
Happy.
This was cool.
Yeah. Oh, it was super cool.
He turns the snake into an arrow and he shoots Valeria.
Yeah.
And kills her with his magic arrow.
Snake.
She and paid her price.
She says, she says, keep me warm.
That can I
let
say,
me
this
breathe
was...
my last breath into your mouth.
Oh, it didn't work for you?
No, I thought that was a silly line.
I thought
okay.
it was really, I thought it was really sad.
I said, Freddie, don't, we're not going to do that on our deathbed.
Because I thought, like, that's the kind of thing I would say.
Yeah.
I thought, like, she wants to be close to him until she passes. I thought it was really sad.
Well, yeah, we can snuggle, but, like, breathing into your mouth.
Oh, my gosh.
And the breath back. And the breath back.
You're like,
was
I'm
kicking.
Not real comfortable with that kind of intimacy. So can I just die? Like, but with our faces not
hey,
touching.
Hey, you don't. Shut up. I have my different thoughts about the life Amy's I like, have.
I'm can I fucking with fart you. My last fart in your butt?
That's I would do that.
I just thought it was really sad.
Real life CPR is not intimate or sexy.
Yeah.
No, I will for sure. But Freddie has been told he's not allowed to call me if he's been cut in half and only being kept alive
by a pinned item.
By a pin being pinned between the thing that cut him in half.
It's the signs contingency.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to call me. I don't want to know. Don't call me if your plane's going down. I just don't want to be part of that moment. It's too much.
What about a text?
That's fine.
Well,
some emojis.
Kelly's railing.
Kelly touched his pants because he could feel it vibrating.
It's
all right, so it's real sad. Feather Hair Don't Care dies. And I liked her. She was great.
She was great.
I liked her hair. But then
they burn her on a funeral pyre.
Conan's like, I got an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes back to that place with all the skeletons.
Yep, they go back to the Stonehenge-y mystical hellhole area.
Puts a shit ton of like spikes up.
So Conan and the wizard and Subutai set up all their booby traps. And then Conan goes to sleep and tries to lure Freddy Krueger out of his dreams.
Smart.
Yeah.
No, he is smart.
They wait for Thulsa Doom and his contingent to arrive, and
which they do.
They just have a big old fight.
Horses are fallen. Bloody bits and such.
I love their spring-loaded impalement device.
Yeah. When the John Boehner looking guy decides to whack-a-mole what he thinks is Conan or one of them.
Oh yeah, because it's
the trigger for the trap. It was pretty great.
Yeah, he kills them. I don't remember how Thulsa Doom gets his
Thulsa Doom, they end up
he rides away again.
Yeah, uh-huh. They drive him off, and then
they're laughing at him.
They have another confrontation with him at the temple, where he comes out in his full Queen Elizabeth regalia.
Oh, because we forgot he tries to shoot another snake arrow at the princess.
Yeah, the princess says, "Don't kill me, father." And Subutai saves her.
He saves her with a badass. He does this.
He leaps listeners, through the air with a shield.
Listeners, look at me.
And the magic mm-hmm. snake arrow.
Oh, it's like the end of Bodyguard with Kevin Costner.
It's exactly when like he was.
Now that's romantic. Yes.
Yeah.
And Thulsa Doom sulks away. He's like, I
know when I've been beaten.
Yep.
That's
my bangs are getting too long. I need a trim, and we'll try this again.
Yeah.
That's why he wanted the steel to cut his hair.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember how Conan ends up at the temple at the end.
He just follows him.
I think, they just ride back there.
Yeah, and he ends up at the top of the tower with him. And Thulsa Doom is addressing his people like Avita.
And then they have a Luke Skywalker Darth Vader moment.
They do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where he says, "I'm your father," basically, that I created you.
But he's metaphorically
by taking
speaking.
You away from those people and making you strong and all this. And he starts, you get the impression early in the film that Thulsa Doom has this like Dracula hypnotic quality about him where he can.
Yeah, because he's got those weird blue eyes.
And he is starting to hypnotize Conan somewhat.
Yeah.
Conan ain't having it.
No, he fucking cuts his goddamn head off.
He cuts his head off. It takes him a few swipes, which
we is were awesome. Talking
about. Yeah, which makes it's like a more realistic decapitation moment.
Yeah.
Then he holds Thulsa Doom's head out for all of his followers to see.
So great.
And then he chucks it down the steps of the temple.
And you can hear it bouncing.
Thud, 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 thud.
I bet it was hard to hold his head with his little bangs.
Mm. Yeah, he had to get it like real far back. Yeah.
All I want is bang, bang, bang. And everybody leaves.
Yep.
They're disillusioned. They're no longer under his spell.
Aww.
Conan hangs out on the steps like Danny Zuko at the drive-in.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I'm going to chuck one of these braziers up there and set this whole shit on fire.
And it's awesome again.
It's awesome again because
he swings around.
Yeah. This physicality?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You like looking at those muscles ripple?
I love watching him move. I mean, I really do love watching him move.
He was just amazing. Yeah.
Really great.
So he sets the temple on fire, and then you get the post-credit
sequel. Pre-credit.
Pre-credit.
And that story, too, will be told.
Yeah, you see Conan on the throne.
It was very fast times.
Yeah. It was like, Conan will return.
Conan throws a pot of hot coffee at someone trying to rob the Circle K. Yeah, but you see Conan on the throne, and you get the wizard telling, you know, things will get crazier, and Conan go pussy finger he coming becomes, out in fall.
What?
I don't know.
Why? Why was that your choice if you didn't know?
Well, that's what it was.
Oh,
it's what came out.
So, Amy, final thoughts about this movie? Since it's your first and my first,
it was very long, which is always
2 hours and 4 minutes.
But I did think it was fun. I did think it was fun, but I just don't have the emotional attachment you guys have either with Conan or Schwarzenegger. He's never done much for
me. Yeah, I'm thinking like it's probably the same. It was an enjoyable movie.
Yeah,
I have nothing bad to say against it, but I don't like hold it on a pedestal as much as.
Yeah,
I mean, does it matter that we didn't see it?
I don't know.
When you were a kid?
Yeah.
I think so,
yeah.
I think based on their
I didn't see it until I was a teenager. I mean, like I said, I read
But that's when you
stories.
Still had whimsy and wonder.
I still have whimsy
I know,
and wonder.
I know, I'm kidding.
This
I,
movie,
you
this,
kid, you kid.
This I stokes kid. My whimsy and wonder.
No, but there comes a point where nostalgia comes in and it overrides some like flaws in this movie.
He punched a motherfucking camel. Now we'll never get over that.
Well, I don't care about that camel. Yeah. So
what did
For
that
me,
camel do?
It's just like,
nothing. I just don't care about him because he didn't really punch him.
No, he did.
Oh.
The camel moved.
Well, I still don't care.
He knocked that camel out.
That camel's been dead for a long time.
It's done. It's over and done.
Yeah.
But for me, what we can do about it now.
That like camel was dead way before I ever saw that movie.
Like Amy said, it was a little long for me. I think it could use, for me personally, it could use some editing.
Yeah. Well, I don't like long movies.
I think you'll be...
just some shots that lingered a little too long. Like, get to the point.
You'll be really pleased with next week's movie because this is from the director of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, I liked that movie.
Which was really fun, too.
He must have been pretty old by this point.
And this was based on the... I always thought this one was based on the Robert Jordan Conan the Destroyer novel.
Yeah.
But for some reason, he is not credited, what I'm looking at.
I don't know if he was writing when that movie came out yet.
Yeah, but he did write a Conan the Destroyer book. Maybe he wrote the adaptation.
Maybe.
But I'm pretty sure he did. This one's only an hour and 43 minutes long.
It's a little funner. This is more aimed at kids.
Yeah, this one definitely has a lot more whimsy.
Andy and I are childlike.
Is this the Grace Jones one?
Yeah. Grace Jones. Okay,
here's the thing. Yeah, I've seen parts of this
movie. Conan the Destroyer, Beyond Thunderdome.
I've never seen it all the way through.
Okay.
All I remember is Grace Jones swinging that big staff around and hitting those dudes.
I've never seen any
of
these.
You have Schwarzenegger coming back as Conan,
There's
of course.
A kid in this, right?
There's a teenage princess.
I'm thinking of Red Sonja.
Olivia Diabo.
Sorry. Yeah, Olivia Diabo. I forgot. Mm-hmm.
We've all seen her nipple.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mako is back as the wizard. Subotai is not in this one, which I don't know why that is, but I really wish he had been.
There is a Subotai character type in the Jason Momoa version.
Well, and then there's Malik in this, who's, what's his name? Tracy Walter.
Mm-hmm.
That character actor who is in a ton of stuff. You'll know him when you see him.
Okay.
But so you have a slightly different trio. And then you have a slightly different.
Have you ever talked about how you had Conan painted on your wall by your dad when you were a kid?
On this show, I don't think I have, but my dad used to work third shift and then he would go to the bar. And he would come home, and then one night he came home and decided to paint a big mural of Conan on my bedroom wall.
That's an awesome dad thing to do.
It was pretty great. It was Conan and an eagle, and Conan had a big axe.
Do you have a picture of it?
I don't know.
Should try to dig it out.
I mean, it's still underneath some paneling over there because they eventually paneled over it, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Freddie's dad was a good painter, by the way.
Yeah.
He did good stuff.
Yeah.
Did you ever jerk off to it?
All the time.
Just the way you guys, talked about Schwarzenegger's body, how much you're watching it move.
Schwarzenegger,
I should like Paula Poundstone. Just the way, Freddie's like, I have no gay feelings in me. I can't
I have gay feelings for Schwarzenegger.
Andy, we talk about it all the time. Freddie is pop culturally gay.
Yeah,
I'm fluid enough, but I just really like the way he moved. I just thought it was really well choreographed.
No, I get it. I think he has a very great screen presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I need more than his facial presence. Expressions. I need actual speaking.
Yeah.
He'll never be as good as he was in emotion. In T2.
Yeah.
T2's good.
T2 is good.
I won't argue with
you. Baby. Right. I mean, good.
Yeah.
Why is it? I love fantasy novels. I like high fantasy. I like very political high fantasy, Game of Thrones-esque sorts of things. I like sword and sorcery. I love those things. I just I've never found a movie that does it for me the way the books do.
You do like sword and sorcery books?
Yeah, I've read that stuff.
I thought you didn't like that for some reason.
I prefer more the high fantasy versus the very barbarians and tribes and things like that. But
you ever read any Michael Moorcock?
I don't think so.
I'm sorry, what?
Michael Moorcock.
I just read the Joe Abercrombie, The Blade Itself series, which is really good. I don't know. It's just hard for me to find that on the big screen. Yeah. Game of Thrones is great. I love the...
That's not sword and sorcery, though.
But right, but but that's the kind of style I'm into.
Please tell me he had a daughter named Olive.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that means we're done here, kids. And next week will be Conan the Destroyer now.
Yep.
Do you have a card question?
Well,
I'm hungry.
We're gonna. Yeah, it's
the question
hungry?
Is, what do you want for dinner?
Jinx.
Food. Yeah. So next time.
But as always, we love to talk about our Beelzebubs. These Let's people talk about are them. The best. They donate at the Beelzebub level on our Patreon.com/NOTLP.
They're like the cultists to our Thulsa Doom.
Yeah,
they really are.
We're going to start from the bottom. Now we're here. Jimmy B.
Hi, Jimmy B. What is steel, if not compared to the flesh that wields it, Jimmy B?
Amanda,
what kind of sword do you wield?
Elise,
who does love Conan.
I know what sword she wields.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're going backwards, ain't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just mixing it up.
She knows how to handle a sword, if you know what I mean.
Feather hair, don't care. Mikey P.
Wealth can be wonderful, but, success can test one's mettle as surely as the strongest adversary.
Mark Watts. It was just your birthday. Your birthday's coming up. Your birthday's soon. I know that.
Mark, I hope you crush your enemies, you see them driven before you, and that you hear the lamentations of their women.
Balake.
Balake. I have never...
Balake.
Balake. I have never prayed to you before. I have no tongue for it. No one, not even you, will remember if we were good men or bad. Why we fought or why we died. All that matters is that you two stood against many.
All right.
That's what's important.
We got Bill in New York's return.
Bill, valor pleases you.
So grant me one request. Grant me revenge, and if you do not listen, then to hell with you.
Brandon Boone!
Brandon Boone?
Yep. Please.
I was going to say, he can sneak into any tower he wants.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Because he's so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
We got Tree and Alex.
Tree, Alex. There comes a time when jewels seek to sparkle. Cease to sparkle.
I hope you did well on your finals, by the way, Tree.
Yes!
Good job.
Yeah.
Yes, queen. Albert.
Albert, you could build all kinds of booby traps, I'm sure of it.
Booby. Ernest!
Ernie, you killed my mother. You killed my father. You killed my people! Ernie!
Why'd you do that, Ernie?
Brooke.
Brooke?
Brooke the Sumerian?
Brooke! Ah, there you go.
Adam!
Adam, you know the Riddle of Steel.
Jeremy and Cassie!
Jeremy and Cassie, the Riddle of Steel is you put the fox in the boat with the rice.
Mm-hmm.
And you send it across together. And then I can't remember the next step.
Local boy done good, Zach!
Zach! You know what? Breathe your last breath into my mouth and keep me warm.
And finally, Mandy.
Crom laughs at you, Mandy, from his mountain.
He's not going to help you. Crom doesn't help people.
Fuck no.
He doesn't give a fuck about you or anything. That's why he's a great god.
Yep.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
And leave those camels alone. Don't you punch camels.
Stop it. I don't care how high you are. Try not to. I guess try your best.
Yeah, try your very best. Well, that's if you try your best, you shouldn't be punching camels.
I gave my best, but I still punched a camel and knocked him out.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he.